you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
In our ongoing series, Pushed Out, we've been looking at the link between domestic violence and women's homelessness. It's been estimated that almost half of unhoused women in LA are in this situation because of such abuse. Take Two's Julia Paskin reports on how the social services system often forces survivors into homelessness and the effort to stop that cycle.
For decades, the specific needs of homeless women have been left out of policymaking. There weren't even women's shelters until the 1970s. It's ironic, as many of the first homeless shelters in the country were created by churches for people in need, many of which were women fleeing abuse in their homes. While homeless programs have now grown into a patchwork of different groups, strategic initiatives for survivors forced into homelessness have been largely absent. Elizabeth Eastland recalls a day at work reading through hundreds of pages of recommendations and finding sparse mention of domestic violence.
One of the homeless initiatives at the very end literally said, "And consider the needs of survivors." And it was like, okay.
Eastland has long worked with unsheltered survivors. And in the last decade, new data has been published revealing what she'd known all along, that domestic violence is the leading reason women become homeless. But homelessness and domestic violence services have historically been siloed from one another.
And yet it's still pretty challenging when I hear policymakers who feel that domestic violence has its own money, so why do we need housing funding?
With new data came some momentum. So 5 years ago, Eastland co-founded LA's first coalition of homeless and domestic violence services, bringing them together. It's also working to address the problem survivors experience inside shelters. For safety reasons, many require residents to hand over their cell phones, restrict their movement, quit their jobs so their abusers can't track them. Sometimes they're even required to live apart from their children. That's what happened to Tanika Drake, who couldn't find housing after escaping an abusive relationship. She's a veteran, so she went through the VA. But to get into a shelter, she could only take two of her children.
And I have four, so I had to sacrifice keeping my two kids that have special needs with my family while I enrolled myself into this program.
She stayed there for 5 months before she could qualify for housing assistance. The coalition is trying to persuade shelters to change those kinds of requirements. For example, instead of seizing a phone, they encourage shelters to teach residents how to turn off their GPS locator so they can't be tracked by an abuser. Amy Turk, who co-leads the coalition with Eastland, says their campaign for more humane policies is driven by what's called trauma-informed care.
It's really coming from a perspective of thinking not what's wrong with you, but what happened to you. When you shift your thinking in that way, then suddenly you're less apt to blame an individual for their circumstance and more apt to just kind of understand where they're coming from.
Another challenge for survivors is navigating the many groups offering separate services. Some shelters, for instance, will only admit women who have experienced violence in the last 30 days, while other organizations can only help with a security deposit. It means survivors have to enter an exhausting maze of different providers. And Tanika Drake says that's hard to do when recovering from trauma.
It's a very broken system. The only way that you get anything done is you have to make it happen. These organizations, sure enough, they exist, they're here, beautiful. But in order to have the linkage, you, the person going through the challenge, you have to connect the dots. They don't connect the dots for you.
But there's another approach that may prevent women from having to enter such an overwhelming system in the first place. Historically, domestic violence groups focus on removing a victim from the home. And sometimes that is necessary for their safety. But advocates say providers shouldn't assume they always know the best way to help survivors. Instead of forcing them into shelters, Eve Sheedy from the LA County Domestic Violence Council says one-time grants are proven to stop the financial domino effect that leads to homelessness.
Whether it be for that first and last month's rent, being able to repair your car, things that people may not connect to what the needs are coming out of an abusive relationship.
If an emergency grant and coordinated services had been available to Tanika Drake at the right time, it may have prevented her from having to live in a homeless shelter without two of her children. The hope is that by streamlining the system and bringing in more funding, in the future, survivors won't have to become unhoused when seeking safety from their abusers. I'm Julia Paskin.
And Julia will join us tomorrow to talk about the takeaways of her series Pushed Out, how domestic violence became the number one cause of women's homelessness in LA.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.